You want me to bust a beat like
Good
Brandon?
Morning.
No. No.
Sunday morning.
Let's talk about the things that's not going to happen on this good, rainy, sleeping in. But I know y'all are up listening this Sunday morning.
I will be going back to bed.
You'll be going back to sleep? I got a desk to put together and a bedroom to paint.
I actually have family members that's supposed to come over to visit with my uncle and my sister who's going back to Dubai. So we'll see.
We'll see. It is a sleepy Sunday, but I need you all to get up, stretch.
Get up.
You know, if you miss first service,
and
you can listen to us before a second church service comes on.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to be talking about some fun things today. So,
really?
Welcome to Sunday Mornings Without Brandon Johnson.
Sunday Mornings Without Brandon Johnson. But if you know, if you stay tuned, you might catch him on one of those other shows.
You might catch him, and he might call in today.
He might call in, because he, like, don't know how to mind his business.
This is Candace and Tara. You got us this morning.
'Tis true. First Sunday of each month.
First Sunday. And, I mean, first Sunday for
Communion Sunday.
You wear white this Sunday.
'Tis true.
But first Sunday for me is always a good time to reflect on what goals you have set forth for the month.
That's so cute. You're setting monthly goals.
I am
so irresponsible in that way.
I do.
I am literally living day to day.
Now, I'm not saying those goals come true.
I'm living day to day, paycheck to paycheck. It is tight in America.
Oh, Lord.
Over at my crib.
Sometimes you don't even make it all the way to that
man.
Next. But it's your monthly intentions. So
I like intentions.
This month, my intention is to get my house, my child's room, and his domain further together. I have bought paint. I have bought a desk that I have been putting together for the last 3 days, and I have started to do what I'm supposed to do now. My mother is freaking out because, shout out to my mama.
Shout out to all the mamas.
Because she knows I can't draw in straight lines, and I have decided to put stripes on my child's wall.
I suggest you not do that. I strongly suggest you get a painter, a handyman to, like, handle that work. Like, don't do it.
I have watched 5 YouTube videos.
I'm sure you have. I'm like, I too attend YouTube University. Howsoever, if you cannot draw straight lines, please don't attempt to paint stripes on your kid's wall.
A leveler and a yardstick.
My God, Jesus. Just because one has the two L's does not guarantee success.
I think this is a great time to talk about our sponsors, because the CFL does have professionals that are trained in painting walls.
It's true.
The Painters
Union.
You should
lean into them.
And the Carpenters Union. And we love our brothers and sisters of the trades. And thank you to the CFL
for their sponsorship.
Also, my home, SEIU Healthcare, Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, and Kansas. Shout out to Greg Kelly, President Greg Kelly, who is coming back from Columbia after seeing the first Afro-Latina get sworn in as Vice President of Columbia. Shout out to that.
That is so dope.
Huge. CTU Foundation is doing amazing things.
So shout out to Carmen Caret for that. A Latino woman who's over the Chicago Teachers Union Foundation.
I mean, we're talking about the trades, and yes, I am joking about my painting ability, but honestly,
don't do it.
Chicago Teachers Union Foundation is the force behind making sure that we have some of these trades in the schools.
Spectacular.
It's not CPS, y'all. It's CTU Foundation.
Say that.
Shout out to Chicago Teachers Union Foundation. Shout out to Cook County College Teachers Union 1600. Thank you for your sponsorship.
And support.
And the Friends of Brandon Johnson.
Friends of Brandon Johnson.
I think he has all of 5 friends.
Commissioner.
The commish. Chip, the commish.
Shout out to Patricia Ridings, who I used to work with at Jenner, who is tuning in from Paris, France via the Facebook.
What?
And that's something. Look, Paris. And, yes, Paris. And her people was from Paris. Shout out to IFT. So look, check this
Illinois
out.
Illinois Federation of Teachers, yes.
And then I just saw where two of our former students. Two of my former babies at Jenner Academy of the Arts, now called Ogden at the Jenner campus, are visiting her in France. Like, that's the relationship between teachers, like, when it's done well. So two of the babies, like, went over to see her. And so they're in Paris hanging out.
That's
two babies
really
from
cool.
Cabrini in Paris visiting their former teachers.
I want to go to Paris. Do I have any teachers that want to
No,
Paris?
But you know what? Miss Ridings is like so dope. She will house you. She will like cuff you if you come to Paris. Because I know Nico was her former student. So we're going to plan to take Nico. He's going to be 12 next year. So we're going to plan to take Nico.
Don't promise me with a good time. So
I know, right? Don't threaten me a good time.
So let's get into it this week. This week has been.
We need theme music. And it just feels like. When you said, let's get into it, I just felt like we need theme music. Let's get into it. Something. We need something. I'm just saying.
I got to deal with Brandon and Hilaria rapping and you singing. So this week.
I love Hilaria. Shout out to Hilario. That's my dude.
This week has been an amazing week in reproductive rights.
Girl, we are not going to be happy in this country until we are looking like the Handmaid's Tale.
Well, I mean, let's really get into it, Tara, because
I am afeared.
Because I am not.
Tell me why you are not.
Because of Kansas.
Get it.
Kansas is not
going
a blue state at all. Let's make that clear. Kansas is not a blue state. Kansas is a conservative state. Even when it had a Democratic governor, it was still a conservative state. There are more Republicans in Kansas than anywhere. I mean, Kansas is not a blue state. Kansas not only said no, but said heck no. Kansas said, we're not going, and we're not doing this. By a 2-1 margin, they said, absolutely, we will not roll back our constitution, our state constitution, and take away a woman's right to choose. In a red state.
And that gives you hope.
That gives me hope.
So what about Indiana?
So, Indiana legislative body passes in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night, I could go on a tangent about what happened in the middle of the night.
Not in the midnight hour. That's the
difference. Not in the midnight hour.
Because God going to turn it around late in the midnight. But that ain't what we're talking
about. But in the middle of the night, when people wanted to be sneaky, when people don't want you to know
sort of
what's
like
going on.
Sort of like when Daley decided to take over the airport in the middle of the night. He woke up and he took Mixfield.
In the middle of the night. So in the middle of the night, the Indiana State Legislature pass this bill banning abortions after 10 weeks. It's not the 6 weeks that other states have, but 10 weeks. And there are extreme cases of the mortality of the mother or the mortality of the child. Well, they will let abortions go past at 10 weeks, but it's 10 weeks. There's a lot of women that don't even know they're pregnant in 10 weeks. So, 10 weeks, they passed that ban, and the governor got out of bed to sign this bill in the middle of the night. That is a difference between when voters decide and when a male-dominated legislator decides.
Absolutely.
Decides. The voters of Kansas
said no.
A male dominated and white male dominated
legislator in Indiana
said, not only are we going to do this,
we're going to do it in the midnight.
We're going to do it in the middle of the night.
Where ain't nobody watching, nobody can say nothing, and we're going to wake the governor up out of his sleep to sign.
And that's exactly what they did. If you remember,
what has been the response of the city of Indiana residents? Do they know yet?
I mean, I think from what we've been seeing, they know.
They know.
They're upset, but
is
everybody kind of expected it,
mm-hmm.
which leads us back to Chicago, which leads us back to not Stony Island, but the Blue Island of the Midwest, which is Illinois. So Missouri has bans. Indiana has bans. We're expecting other bans to come for Ohio and some other states. But so right now in the Midwest, the places where women can pretty much freely get abortions is Illinois and Kansas.
So what do you think that's going to do in terms of like our health care? How will that impact the health care? You think other residents from those states will come over to Illinois and over to Kansas City to get abortions?
So, definitely. So, Alderwoman Rosanna Rodriguez Sanchez, Alderwoman Maria Haddon have definitely been ringing the alarm bells mm-hmm. about this. And even the mayor has talked about ringing the alarm bells about this. Lieutenant Governor Stratton has been on panels talking about how we need more money to shore up our clinics because our clinics are now seeing an overabundance mm-hmm. of appointments.
They're going to be overrun.
Coming in from other states. So, and we also want to stop people from trying to persecute abortion providers in Illinois because that did come up in other states. They want to persecute abortion providers in Illinois because a woman traveled from Indiana to Illinois to receive an abortion. Abortion is health care. And the part of this that puzzles me, right, that we are not talking about.
Let me. I'm sorry. Finish your statement.
Is our system can't even afford all these children to be born.
See. But you know what was I found alarming? What I found strange. I'm not going to say alarming. I don't want to be like too dramatic. But what I found is that when it was leaked that the Supreme Court was going to go in that direction, that there was not more of an outcry around the country. Like, I felt like we just took that in a way that where things being torn up was demanded. Like, it should. I just felt like what they were proposing to do to women was such that this country should have been up in arms about it. Like, women in this country should have been up in arms about it in a way that was so visceral. Like, I wanted the kind of public outcry and marching in the streets and, you know, that we saw behind George Floyd. Like, I wanted that, and I didn't see it in a lot of places.
So, I mean, I will say this. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect the public outcry we got. Because...
Why?
Because it's been coming. That's the thing. Because it's been coming. Because labor... Well, first of all, we saw in our political system and money in our political system when Citizens United. We saw them with the cases against labor of public sector unions. We saw it with the Voting Rights Act. And now we're seeing it with women's rights to choose. And if we do not think that they are coming after same-sex marriage, we are definitely mistaken.
And
they are coming after birth control in some cases. Let's not fool ourselves. But anytime this court makes any decisions, because at this point, black people, the handicapped, labor unions could have told you it's coming. We've been saying, we've been looking around, and we've been saying it's coming, and things are going to keep coming. Affirmative action is on the docket. Coming up this next cycle. There are cases that are going to work their way through. Voting in jail is going to come up on the docket next cycle. We have to pay attention to our courts, not just at a federal level, but at a local level. And we have to impeach Clarence Thomas. He has to get off
the bench.
The bench.
But what else? Like, when you say, I love sitting, by the way, I just love sitting with Candace, because Candace just has a lot of information. And what I've come to realize is that we oftentimes, the learning curve of what residents and citizens need to know leading up to elections don't occur. People are running and trying to educate people at the same time, which is not, in my experience, the wisest thing to do. So what I'm asking is, when you say it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, what should regular everyday citizens like you and I and our neighbors be doing, be watching, be reading, be paying attention to in preparation to fight, address, rally for what you say is coming?
So I think, one, there's podcasts, there are books, there's news things called SCOTUS Watch. And it's watching the cases that are making their way, winding through the courts. Fine. But also, our everyday is so heavy. And we're going to get into our everyday in Chicago,
baby,
when we come back from this break.
Baby.
But our everyday is so heavy. Every day is so heavy, it's hard to pay attention to those things, good and bad, that are happening in D.C. When we're, even though gas has come down, when we're struggling through that, when we are trying to keep ourselves from getting monkeypox, when we're trying to keep ourselves from getting COVID again.
Even after you've gotten the booster and this and that and thus and so.
When we, even though our grocery tax has been repealed
Oh my God.
When we're trying to afford groceries.
Certain things on grocery tax have been repealed.
When we're trying to figure out why the grass hasn't been cut in empty lots in our community, why it takes a year and a half to get a tree cut down that's falling down, why our parks aren't fully funded, why buses are running 10 minutes slower than they were, why? When it comes to that, why? I don't, who has the bandwidth to watch SCOTUS?
Got you.
We'll be right back after this break.
Some months ago, and I'm gonna just say this public service announcement: when you're in a car accident, whether it's your fault or not, go to the hospital. When they say, "Do you want to go to the hospital?" and you're sitting there like, "No, I feel fine," go. You know why? Because you might be feeling fine in that moment, but I am here to tell you, I said, "No, I feel fine." I let them check me out. They looked over me. About 20 minutes later, I got dizzy, so I did go to the hospital. I incurred a bill. Not good. Secondly, ever since then, I've had headaches. My neck is bothering me. I get like pinches and glitches. So all I'm saying is go to the hospital. And honestly, if it's one of them ambulance chaser people that, and file. I'm just saying. Okay, get some money. You are not hurting the insurance company if you sue them. Sue them, get some money, go to the hospital. That's what I got for y'all right now. Okay. I didn't. Needless to say, that's why I'm bitter.
I'm going to leave that alone. So this is the most wonderful time of year for our aldermen and city employees. I pray for them this time of year. This is the time of year that we're coming up on that they don't eat. That they have long, long, long days and long nights. And what I'm talking about is city budget season.
Say more.
So this...
Take us through it.
So in earnest, about 2 weeks ago, the mayor's team started the budget process of having these community meetings, and she had three of them, where she really talked about, the city budget. Now, they don't ask the communities what they want to see in the budget. That's not what they do.
Is there ever a process when that does happen, even at the alderman level, when they're asking or soliciting residents for what they want to see?
Yes. Not all aldermen do it. Some aldermen do it.
Is that the participatory budgeting part?
Some aldermen call it participatory budgeting. Some aldermen just brief them on the budget. Some do it with their menu money. So each ward, no matter the size of the ward, let me really go into this. Every ward, no matter the size of the ward, gets the same exact amount of money for the ward. My sister Fran, my girl, one of the smartest aldermen in the city of Chicago, Alderwoman Maria Haddon, her ward can fit in the 20th ward with my sister Fran, my girl, my rock, Alderwoman Jeanette Taylor. Three times. They get the same exact dollar amount. Alderwoman Taylor has three times the amount of streets. They get the same exact dollar amount. Now, I'm going to take it a step further. Where are the larger wards cut? Black and brown communities. They were cut like that on purpose. It is what 53,000 people look like in a bunch of apartments versus single family homes. Mm-hmm. Because in most black and brown communities, it's single family homes. But they get the same exact dollar amount. So the next time you're driving and you're on the north side and you see all these, they can do this on the north side. They can do this on the north side.
It's because it's smaller.
And they can do more with their money.
And they can do more with their money.
There you go.
That makes so much sense. And I bet y'all didn't know that. But now it makes all the sense in the world when you have these smaller wards. So were the white wards cut smaller?
No.
On purpose?
No. Well, I don't think that they were cut smaller or bigger on purpose. It's just the function of apartment buildings on the north side.
Versus single family homes. Oh, okay.
So I don't know. But let's get back to the budget process. So the budget process includes everything the city does except for our three sister agencies. And I know I am in the minutia. The three sister agencies is Chicago Public Schools, Chicago Housing Authority, and CTA. They all have their own budgets and their own processes. Everything else is in the Chicago city budget. So the people that cut the trees down, they're in the Chicago city budget. Streets and sanitation, they're in the city budget. Animal control, city budget.
Library,
Park city district. Budget. Park district, they have a budget of their own.
Okay.
You name it, Department of Water, city budget. The police, city budget. The firefighters, city budget. All of them come through the mayor's office, city budget. Everything comes through the city budget. So the city budget is important. Mm. It's more important than what people think it is. So let's get into it. Can you guess the percentage of the city budget the Chicago Police Department gets?
I can, but I won't. I'll let you spring that on our audience. Because it's huge.
The Chicago Police Department gets 40% of the city budget.
Say that, like, make that, like, crystal clear. Like, I don't know how much more clear
so
it could be.
So let's take almost
half.
Let's take your household bills. Let's take your household bills, right? Half your money go to the mortgage. Half your money's gone. It's supposed to be 30%, y'all. Don't pay. Don't do over 30% of your monthly salary. But half your money is supposed to, it goes to the police. Almost half.
Off top.
Everything else, including the fire department, is less with the 60% of the city budget. Do y'all know
she's
how big Chicago
for effect.
Is?
Yeah, she's pausing for effect.
No, I'm pausing for a real question. Mm. Do you all know how big Chicago is?
It is so mammoth.
Chicago is huge. Chicago's huge. Chicago is so huge. What it takes just to clean Chicago after the historic next week Bud Billiken parade is a massive operation. After like it rains and a tornado, massive operation. I know y'all don't want to hear this in the middle of summer, but I'm going to say it. Snow removal is a massive operation. If we have trees that fall because of these storms, massive operation.
And there were a ton of trees that were felled in that last storm.
And how long did they take to get up?
Baby, let me tell you something. Down the street from my home on the west side, Austin, shout out to Austin, is a lovely, lovely park. And the storm was like in April, May, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
The trees, probably the limbs and the trees and everything else probably just got picked up maybe about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so go there some more. So, I remember I told you the Department of Forestry is in the city budget, okay? The Department of Forestry right now is a year and a half behind. Think about what I said. The Department of Forestry is a year and a half behind.
What are they attributing to that delay?
Shout out to the...
Is that COVID? Are they blaming COVID for that you know?
No, pre-COVID.
Is that pre-COVID? Is that hiring? Is that, like, what is that?
Pre-COVID and it's funding. So, let's go back. Pre-COVID, the Department of Forestry was about 6 months behind. But on the very regular basis, mm-hmm. the Department of Forestry is a year to 2 years behind. Why? Because, shout out to the laborers, once again, they keep cutting their jobs.
Mm.
They keep taking them to other departments. And why is that? Because it's one of the most dangerous jobs in the city, and they don't get paid like they should. They literally climb trees and cut them down. Mm-hmm. It is very easy for them to get hurt. But they keep cutting this job. So why don't they contract it out? They have contracted out the planting of trees. Y'all would never guess. And yes, I am in the weeds. Every time you plant a tree in the city of Chicago and the people that they have contracted it out to costs us $200 per tree.
Are you kidding?
No.
Who did they contract it out to?
I don't know.
Because then that's really in the weeds.
That's really in the weeds.
But you're paying $200. And that could be a whole other situation where people are getting, where you're creating jobs for people in your actual city to plant trees. That's what vexes me, that there are opportunities hand over foot to employ your own citizenry and you choose to privatize.
Well, it's not just the privatization of jobs, which in a lot of cases, when you privatize these jobs, they are not good union paying jobs anymore.
Right.
But it's the privatization of jobs. It's the lackluster. I think about the people who cut the grass, right? This year, everybody was calling the alderman's office saying the grass is too high. Y'all need to get somebody out here. The grass is too high. Y'all need to get somebody out here. The grass is too high. You need to get somebody out here. Guess what? Unless that alderman had a relationship with a private contractor at that point, nobody was coming out. You want to know why? Because the city was delayed in getting the grass cutting contract. And where did that affect the most communities? Black and brown, of course.
Like,
because we have the most vacant lots. So what was happening?
It was atrocious. I complained repeatedly about the lot on my block. And once they did come, it was a hatchet job. It's ridiculous.
Yes. Yes. Because the contract with the city does not allow them to rake it after they cut it.
They just the grass was so high they didn't cut it. They chopped it down because it was that high. Just, it was like 5-6 feet high.
Yep.
They chopped it down and then just left it there. It was ridiculous.
But let's take it a step further with the grass.
And then we're going to get out the grass, y'all, and then get back into like all the rest of the 60% that the city budget covers. Because 40% of the city budget goes to cops.
But it's not just getting out the grass. It's what's in the grass. It's what's in the grass. When we talk about what's in the grass, Kim? So last week we talked about environmental violence and environmental violence on black and brown communities. But what's in the grass, a lot of times, the grass is where the rodents live.
Yep.
And rodents have been proven to bring more asthma and breathing issues to black and brown communities. And black and brown children in the city of Chicago have a higher rate of asthma. So when we...
That's documented.
When we are talking about cutting the grass, and people don't get it. When we are talking about cutting the grass, we are talking about health outcomes for our communities. And people, somebody said, it's not a big deal. Yes, it is.
Well, it's a big deal when you know how those dots are connected. Oftentimes, people don't understand how all of the dots are connected. And see, you just connected a really important dot. And that's why civic engagement and learning opportunities are critical to develop a voting citizenry. You got to understand that the grass not being cut is an environmental issue, that causes more rodents, which I've seen humongous raccoons, rats, everything, and that plays a part into the higher rates of asthma among children, school-aged children in black and brown communities. That is a lot to unpack. Oftentimes, we keep these things separate and in separate silos, separate conversations, never connecting all of those dots so that you understand why fighting for this particular thing is critical for the overall health of the community. But oftentimes, like you just mentioned before, who has the bandwidth and who is taking the opportunity to connect those dots so that our neighbors have a better understanding of why these smaller fights, or what they may deem a smaller fight, like getting the lot cut, is really a big fight.
Well, I mean,
or important fight.
I mean, if we take it, so let's go back. Let's take it back to the budget. So each department, each commissioner submits a budget to the mayor's office. The mayor's...
Each commissioner.
Mm-hmm. Each office. So the cops, the firefighters, sanitation, water, the heads of those offices are called commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
Not like our Cook County Commissioner Brandon Johnson.
And that's why I kind of like repeated that, because again, these are one of those things that you will get confused about, because you don't realize that the people who head up these departments are called commissioners. You will be thinking that when you say commissioner, you mean Cook County Commissioner, like our very own Brandon Johnson.
Brandon Johnson just brought $25 million to the West Side. I ain't talking about him.
Oh, we need to talk about that.
I ain't talking about him. But they submit their budget.
Money. Okay.
And they submit their budget to the mayor's office. And the mayor's office and her team go through it and say, this go work, this not go work, this go work, this not go work, this go work, this not go work. And presents that budget to the alderman. It is public. As soon as that budget hits, as soon as she has her budget meeting, it is on the internet. The alderman gets the paper document, and that budget is on the internet. When we come back, we'll talk about the rest. Right after this break.
Stay tuned.
Dylan, it's a common type of day.
It is.
Yeah, honestly.
Feeling the go. In the shy, in the go.
Yeah, you know, gotta keep it Chicago strong.
Keep it Chicago. I'm so Chicago.
How Chicago are you, Tyler?
I'm so Chicago that I remember Rainbow Skating Rink.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Come on.
Stop playing with me. Stop playing with me.
Come on now. I'm so Chicago.
How Chicago are you?
I'm so Chicago. I still eat pickles and peppermint sticks.
Stop playing with me. I'm so Chicago. My big sister taught me how. You supposed to say, how Chicago are you?
How Chicago are you?
I'm so Chicago that my sister taught me not only how to do double dutch, but Chinese jump rope.
I'm so Chicago.
How Chicago are you?
That I can't wait to the Bud Billy Get Parade.
Bud Billy Get Parade. I'll be on the Chicago Teachers Union float.
I'll be hiding on the Chicago Teachers Union bus. Y'all don't know that Chicago Teachers, let me brag about my sisters and brothers in red for a little bit. Chicago Teachers Union bus is the best way place to hide on Bud Billiken Parade Day, because it be hot and you be tired and it's like, where's CTU at? I'm going to go fast CTU because they got a bus with air conditioning. And I love my purple. I love SEIU State Council, but CTU got a bus with air. I just want to throw that out there. So I will see y'all. I will see the mighty
Chicago teacher. CTYOU. Because remember, you are the union. That's like my, you know, what I tell new members and members all along.
But you are the city, too.
You are. Oh, I love it. Talk back to me, but don't ask me. I love that.
You are the city, too. So now, everybody submitted their budget. The mayor has submitted to the aldermen.
Back to the budget.
The mayor has, it's public online. It's public online. We could see it. So here starts the crazy process where people forget to eat, where mayor's office and aldermanic staff, my former brothers and sisters, this is where you pray for them this time of year, because their days start 6 o'clock in the morning and they might go to like midnight, because here comes the budget hearing. Each and every city department comes before the alderman, and they go through the alderman and the alderman staff, comb through that budget, mm-hmm. and say, why do you need this for this? Why do you need this for this? Why is this paying this? Why isn't this paying this? Y'all haven't done nan nothing you were supposed to do with the last amount of money we gave you. Why should we give you any more? That's what the aldermen do. And it's days on end. It's for like 3 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. The two that take the longest, of course, is the Chicago Police Department and the Chicago Firefighters. Now, aldermen comb through, and streets and sanitation. Aldermen comb through that budget to make sure that there's line items for the things that we want or the things that they don't want. So remember the Spot Shotter campaign?
Mm-hmm.
Stop Spot Shotter. It was in the budget. They could have ended the contract. They did not. It was in the budget. It was a line item in the budget. There are line items in a budget that have been trying to take out for undercover cops, uniforms, but they don't wear uniforms, so why are we providing them with uniforms? There are line items in the budget for almost everything. So let's talk about what's not in the budget. What's not in the budget is what a lot of community groups and a lot of violence prevention people have been demanding for a long time, and that's the Office of Gun Violence Prevention. What's not in the budget, which may be in a budget to a certain degree this time because it did pass, is the peace book.
What's the peace book?
The peace book is what Good Kids, Mad City was mm-hmm. lobbying for. Mm-hmm. So kids, young people, can have the resources to know where the healthy activities going on in the city.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't mean healthy like food, but where's the lock-ins that's being provided by the church this weekend? Mm-hmm, where are the after-school park activities? Where
are those activities?
Where can kids, instead of just...
Because it's so funny how when I was coming up, you did not have to go on a seek and find mission to find after-school, healthy after-school programs. You didn't need a book to tell you where the healthy activities were. They were plainly displayed in your neighborhood.
But if we gonna have a gang database, if we go talk about all the kids that's in the gang database,
sure,
let's give kids some healthy options or some places to go. Some places that will feed their soul to help them grow. And that's what Good Kids Mad City have been fighting for. Shout out to them. Shout out to all the kids that's been on the front lines. And when I say kids,
I mean kids.
We're talking about 15 till about 22. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, these are young people that's doing the work. And they're passing legislation. So, shout out to them. But we don't have that. And Office of Gun Violence Prevention, we have talked so many times about violent crime in Chicago. We have talked, and I stood on it, and I said again and again and again and again and again, Black and brown Chicago do not know the difference between policing and public safety. Remember, the police get 40% of the city budget. So is a priority in the city of Chicago policing or is it public safety? Because I would argue with you, making sure that street lights are on all the time
is public safety.
Making sure that grass is cut
is public safety.
Making sure that the water basins are cleaned out so streets don't flood.
Environmental and public safety.
Okay, I'm going to say it again, and I know y'all don't want to hear about it,
but making sure
snow removal is done.
It's public safety.
Making sure snow removal is done in front of our senior homes and our schools.
It's definitely
and
public
hospitals.
Safety. Especially when you call for the schools to be open when there are 8 inches of snow, and you know you could have went remote, but you chose not to, so you have all of these pileups, and there's no snow removal anywhere. You got teachers in buildings shoveling snow. No, we are not the maintenance people, but you had teachers all over the city trying to shovel snow so they wouldn't get stuck when they went to work last year because there was no snow removal.
I'm sorry. I'm going to say this. The school janitors are not supposed to be shoveling snow. Mm. The maintenance, the people, the engineers that work in the schools are not supposed to be shoveling snow. Our teachers are not supposed to be shoveling snow. The gym teacher is not supposed to be shoveling snow. Our 7th to 8th grade, mostly boys, are not supposed to be shoveling snow. And I don't care if it's a public, private, or charter school. None of those people, it's their jobs to shovel the front of the school, which is public property.
Or the parking lot so the teachers can get in to the
sorry.
Building. Okay, sidebar.
It's nobody's job.
Yep.
But all of those things are public safety. And even though our park districts have a separate budget, our park districts being fully funded is public safety. Animal control, public safety. Libraries, public safety. Libraries.
And so what you hear, what I hear in all of that is making sure that people that live in the city of Chicago have access to a decent quality of life is a public safety demand. And all of those things working together is what creates a safe quality of life in the city, making sure that each of those branches that we just discussed and ran off are fully funded is a public safety issue.
So here's where it gets great. The beginning of all of those meetings that they have with all of those departments. Not only can you watch them online, and you could watch them online pre-COVID. Not only can you watch them online, but also you can do public comment. Remote or in person, you can comment on, the police gets 40% of the budget, but what are we doing about homelessness in Chicago? Yes, we don't have mental health facilities. What are we going to do, treatment, not trauma? The light has been out in my alley for a month. Can you get that? you can have public comment. And here's something great. Alderman Taylor does it. A lot of Northside aldermen do it. But there's lots of aldermen who don't present the city budget to their community before they vote on it. You could call your alderman's office and ask them, hey, can you do a budget town hall? And if they don't want to do it, you know what you can do? Your own. You can do your own budget town hall. You can go to a park district get a big screen, put it on the screen,
and say, break it down and talk about it. And look, and I know budgets are intimidating. And I know for Tara, that's, so let me personalize. I know that's why I stayed away from, heck, budgets even in my own house. Like, looking at the money can get intimidating, right? Because you realize you're not doing what you're supposed to do. But guess what? That's what you want to find out about this city, because they ain't doing what they're supposed to do with the money either. But the only way that you can be wired up to address that is that you got to look at it. You cannot fix what you will not address. Right? But if you want to have comment, if you want your comment to mean anything, you have to arm yourself with the information, which means you got to take the blinders off, not be afraid to look at the numbers and say, this is what it is and this is what it ain't. But you cannot fix what you won't confront. So confront it. And being an intelligent voting citizen in this city means, like, you know, I may not understand it all, but I'm going to look at it. I may not understand it all, but I'm going to look at it to say, why is that? I don't understand this. And it is the alderman's job. It's the people that get the salary to say, yo, I don't understand this part about the budget. I looked at it. And do you know how intimidating that is when you tell the alderman that you looked at the budget? I have a girlfriend I went to high school with, Wanda Taylor. Wanda Taylor is a beast. And when I tell you, Wanda Taylor looks at every department's budget. She's sitting over there in Lawndale right now, and she could tell you so much about budgets and how money is spent and not spent. So shout out to Wanda Taylor. Not only that, she's one of those people who just does the homework. While everybody else, she's created the bandwidth to say, I know what each alderman is doing, how they vote, and what's going on. And really, somebody really need to have their own podcast. But before we get on up out of here, which is in a few short minutes, you talked a little bit about something that had nothing to do with the budget, guys. So if she want to wrap that budget up, what happened in Englewood?
So real quick, so let
stark,
me wrap.
Stark departure.
Let me wrap this budget up. The Chicago budget season is this season. I know football season's about to start. I know the Bears.
Hey,
fans
go
go crazy.
Alabama State.
Oh,
number
my
17.
God.
Go
oh
Western
my God.
Michigan. Go, no, hey, go
did
number
she,
41.
Did
as
she
an
just put that blasphemy in my ears of Alabama State?
I will be at the Magic City Classic this year
of
cheering
Alabama
my son
State
off
University.
At
okay.
Alabama State.
All right, shout out to the Bulldogs of Alabama A&M, where we will beat Alabama State once again in the Magic City Classic. Because we do it every year. We are very glad to see you again. But back to the topic. The football season is starting. Chicago Bears fans, Saints fans, Alabama A&M Bulldog fans, Bulldog
Alabama
country.
State,
but,
Hornet fans, swarm,
but,
swarm.
And that, but the budget season is a
Central
season
State,
that,
okay.
that we need to pay attention to, because it puts out, it sets out our journey for the rest of the year. So last year, there was a comedian during snow season who was not in her Lori Lightfoot costume on the internet, and she literally put the plow tracker on the screen. And you saw how there were no plows on the south side and the west side. The budget that is set for those plows is set in September. So when we talk about the services that our communities aren't getting, when we talk about the danger in our communities, when we talk about an Office of Gun Violence Prevention, when we talk about treatment, not trauma, when we talk about Bring Chicago Home, shout out to Bring Chicago Home. They're doing amazing actions to get money put in the homeless communities. When we talk about all of that, what we're talking about is a city budget. And city revenue. So when we talk about Ken Griffin moving to Miami, don't let the door hit you, Ken. He didn't want to pay his fair share of taxes in the city for us to have the services that we needed. And our current mayor is letting those developers, those millionaires and billionaires, get away with
not paying
more money into the city, but constantly over-policing neighborhoods that still ain't safe, because we got a clearance rate of 28%. So where are we and what are we doing and why are we doing it? Let me give my closing thoughts. Yesterday, day before yesterday in Inglewood, there was a potential mass shooting at a park of a young white man.
20-year-old white male
who
in
had
Inglewood.
Ammunition in a car.
1,000 rounds.
And letters, incoherent letters, talking about the shooting in Buffalo. I'm praying for all of those families in Inglewood. I'm praying for Alderwoman Stephanie Coleman, who did an amazing job talking about the issue. But last Sunday, my family was hit with gun violence, where my cousin was shot and killed blocks from his house. The scourge of gun violence in our city and in our nation is ridiculous. But when it hits your house,
my God,
it hits differently. And I want to say to my family, we are staying in prayer for the Ballard family. And it hurts and it stings differently because there's a lot of people that live on different parts of the city or in the suburbs who has theories of change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And who have theories of how they want this to work. But it's nothing. It's nothing. Those theories go out the window when it hits your own, Tara.
Baby, you got to say that. I want to say one of my good girlfriends, Wanta Bennett Griffin, is watching. My condolences to her. So many of my dear friends have been victims of gun violence. One of the ladies I grew up in the community with, the royal family, she's bearing her second son, has been a victim of gun violence this year. But what I find criminal is that the people at the very top fail to protect our citizenry. By passing common sense legislation to get all of these guns out of our country in this way. And when you can't do that in light of Sandy Hook, when you can't do that in light of what happened in down in Texas, when you can't do that in light of what happened in Buffalo, all of these countless situations, more is needed. Anyway, we're going to say we out of here right now. We're going to stay safe, stay faithful. Love y'all.
Love you.